You know, whenever we get saved and we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it just makes sense that we want to get closer to Him. Do you feel that way tonight about Christ, about God? No matter how long you've been saved, from the point you got saved, even until now, you just want to get closer to God. And we want to approach God. And I'm glad God is approachable. And we should have a heart's desire as believers to get closer and closer to God. One of the ways we approach God, as I mentioned in the first message in this group of messages, is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't believe He's there. You don't believe He's there, and so on and so forth. But tonight we want to talk about the Bible, approaching God biblically. Colossians chapter 3, if you'll look one verse as our text verse, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. The scripture says here, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Colossians 3:16. Look at it very carefully. Let the word of Christ, let the Bible, let God's word dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They need to be spiritual songs, amen. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The first part of that verse is an emphasis on the fact that we need to spend some time in the Word of God. And if we're going to approach God, we must approach God biblically and approach Him by the Word of God. And as I said, it should be our nature to want to do that. The way to approach God is to spend some time studying this book. To spend some time in the Word of God in the Bible. The Bible is a good beginning place to start out every day in worshiping Almighty God. Not only your prayer time, but your worship time. Now, we've let some of these other groups steal the thunder for the word worship. And I don't think they know a whole lot sometimes what they're talking about or what really is meant by worship. But I wonder sometimes, what are we doing about it? Are we really worshiping the Lord? And one of the ways we do it is through Bible study, a good place to begin. There are people that I know, that I admire. There are people that do a lot of work around here that help us out. And I like to give them praise. Not praise like the praise that belongs to God, but honor and recognition and some praise for what they do. And the more I know about some of them, the more I'm around them, and that's been true of some of the leaders in my life that I have met all along the way, the more I'm around them, the more I know about them, the more I appreciate what they do and how they do it, and the more I want to say, you know, you're a blessing to me, and thank God for you, and to give that praise. But there's one that we need to know even greater than that, and that's God. And we need to know Him better. And here's the thing. The more we know about God, the closer we get to God, the more we know God, the more we're going to praise God. Does that make sense? The more we know Him, the more intimate we are with God, the more honor and glory and praise He's going to get. And I submit to you tonight that He is worthy of our praise. Now, one way we get to know more about God, as I said, is through God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you believe that? It's God's holy, inerrant Word. You meet some people today that don't believe that. I still believe it. I believe it's God's Word. And it's all profitable for doctrine, reproof, so on and so forth, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. And we thank God that He has given us the Bible so that we have a resource to guide us, something that I know I can stand and preach and know that it is the Word of God. This book tonight is more than old-fashioned King James Shakespearean poetry. It is the very Word of God. And I meet people say, well, I just can't understand the antiquated King James Version of the Bible. Well, isn't it strange that all of our parents and grandparents and those before them had no real problem with it? And I think it was sufficient then, it's sufficient now. Now, I'm not a person that is hung up with certain groups on that and so on and so forth, but I just don't see any problem in the King James Version of the Bible and the beautiful language of it. And you watch, any time they're going to sell it, somebody's going to read it, a famous movie star or somebody, what version are they going to read from? The King James Version. But it's more than just a beautiful language. It's more than just those things. It is the very Word of God. John said in chapter 5, in verse 9, these words, verse 39, search the Scriptures. Why? For in them you think you have eternal life. You're going to find eternal life from the Word of God. And they are they which testify of me. The Bible testifies of Jesus Christ. Anything that testifies of Jesus Christ should be something we spend some time around or with that might draw us closer to the Lord. I want to know God more, and one way I can know God more is through knowing God's Word a whole lot more. And I need to spend time in it. We need to approach God biblically. Let me tell you something. Don't blindly trust some church somewhere. You check them out by the Word of God. Don't just go there because of their social functions. We about social function ourselves to death sometimes. We need some soul winning sometimes instead of eating. But you don't pick a church for those things or the accoutrements or the beauty of the building and the edifice and all that, although that has something to do with it perhaps. But you go to a church and you pick that church out because they agree with the Bible. And if they don't agree with the Bible, get out of it. You say, well, my grandpa's buried out back, my grandma's buried out, they help out back, and they help pay for this sanctuary and all that. Who cares? If they've gotten away from the Word of God, leave that church. Get out of it. You say, well, I'm going to stay in it, and I'm going to blend with them, and we'll get blended. They're cold and backslidden, and I'm on fire for God. Then you know what you have? A lukewarm church. And you know what God says about lukewarmness, don't you? We need to check it out by the Word of God. Don't blindly trust a church. Don't blindly trust a denomination just because they say it's right. And we are sort of free from that. We're an indigenous, autonomous church, and we are self-governed in a local sense. And I sure am glad we are. There's nobody, no bishops, nobody else over me that tells me what to preach. They don't send me my outline from headquarters somewhere. I'm not suggesting that all groups do that, but I'm just saying I'm glad that we're free from that. We are a Bible-believing church, and the denomination does not tell us what to do. And don't believe some so-called prophet. Prophet so-and-so, or bishop so-and-so, or so-and-so. You better check them out by this book. This is the Word of God. Take the Word of God. Approach God biblically. Come to the Word. And God has given us a brain, and God has given us the Holy Spirit, and if we'll study the Word of God, we'll know more about God and we'll be drawn closer to God. Not only studying the Bible, but I think Bible preaching can draw us closer to God. You know, I believe that Bible preaching reveals God to people. It makes them hunger for Him. It makes them thirst for Him. It makes them want to know God in a better relationship. Martin Luther said this, when I declare the Word of God, I offer sacrifice unto Him. When I declare the Word of God, I offer sacrifice unto Him. And really, that's a good way for a preacher to feel when he's preaching, when he's serving the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, that somehow he's offering an acceptable sacrifice to God because he is preaching the Word of God. And it ought to be Bible-based preaching. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for all of this philosophical junk that's going around and this self-improvement, psychology preaching and all of that. Now, that may have a place in the counseling room somewhere if it's biblical counseling, but it really doesn't have a place in the pulpit, I don't think. It ought to be Bible-based preaching. And I'm afraid that so many movements today, you know, there are always some new movements around. And I'm afraid that many of those movements today fail to realize that when there's no Bible preaching, there is no worshiping of God, and God is not present to bless. I believe He blesses the preaching of the Word of God. And we need to preach the Word of God. Bible preaching reveals God. I think a lot of churches today learn very little about who God is in their church services. They learn a lot about other things, but very little about who God is. Many times they go into a church service, and when they walk away, they've not been drawn closer to God. They have no desire to even be drawn closer to God. They have no feeling to be drawn closer to God. They just walk out of there having been entertained and empty and go back about their normal lifestyle. There are a lot of different kinds. You have liturgical churches, and they put the great emphasis on all of the different liturgy of the church, formalism, traditionalism. They do all the signs and all the motions and going through all the things and burning all the incense and doing all of that, and nobody preaches the Word of God. I think I've told you this before, but I still believe it here today, that the pulpit ought to be in the center of the sanctuary, and there shouldn't be one on the side or two on the side. I suppose that you might get away with that sometimes, but I think it makes a statement. The preaching of the Word of God is the most important thing. Not because of who I am or who the preacher is that might be standing here, but because we are preaching the Word of God. And formalism and dead, cold orthodoxy and liberalism is not going to get the job done. It's not going to happen. Then there's the other extreme, and that is emotionalism. A lot of people go in churches. I was in a home, Brother Wimbley, I believe you were with me. Thursday night, we're out visiting. A couple had visited our church, and we were talking to them, and they were talking about at one time, right after they got saved, they really didn't know any difference. Somebody talked them into going to a charismatic-type church. And he said to me, we went to that thing for a while, but he said, you know, we found so much hypocrisy. We found that they were shouting and throwing up their hands and speaking in tongues. That's a different message. Languages, glossolalia, and doing all of that. And yet they'd walk out the door and live exactly the same way they had been living. And he and his wife said, we knew there was something wrong with that. We didn't know exactly what, and we were ready to go and wanted to go. And we knew there was something wrong with that. And thank God, like the kitty cat finally got its eyes open, they became Baptist. Amen. Before that, they were another denomination. But when they got their eyes open, they became Baptist cats. I'm a Baptist by conviction. But I believe that there are those who are going to church to get an emotional feeling, and they are emotionally manipulated. And by the way, you don't think people know how to do that, you're wrong. They're preachers, they're guys who stand up there who know how to emotionally manipulate people and get exactly the kind of response they want out of them. They know exactly how to do that, and they are very good at it, and most of them make a lot more money than I do doing what they do doing that. That's not the issue anyway, is it? But today more than ever, I believe we need Bible truth. Amen? We need good old-fashioned, that was sort of weak. I believe we need Bible truth. Amen? We need Bible truth. We don't need to be entertained and all of that. I'm not against telling jokes and so on and so forth. In fact, I think I'll tell one right now about the little boy that, and I'm talking about Bible preaching, it fits. And the little boy went up to the preacher and said, here, I want to give you my offering. And the preacher said, no, you take that to the ushers. You put it in the offering plate. He said, no, I want to give it to you. He said, no, your mom and daddy gave that to you. That's your offering. You go put it in the offering plate. He said, go get one of the ushers and they'll take care of it. He said, no, I want you to have it, preacher. He said, son, why are you so insistent that I have this? Why do you want to give me the offering? He said, because my daddy said you're the poorest preacher he's ever heard. Amen. And that may be the case. And if they're not preaching the Bible, thank God, you know, they bless the Lord, they ought to get the preaching the Word of God to the best of their ability. The problem, I don't think, is the delivery style. There are a lot of different kinds and styles of delivery. I preach one way. Dr. Henderson preaches another way. Dr. Barber preaches another way. And Brother Rigsby, I don't know what way he preaches, but at any rate, the thing about it is, if there's Bible content, we haven't wasted your time. If it's based on the Word of God, we haven't wasted your time. So I believe that Bible preaching uplifts God's works. You see, when I open the Bible, I don't have to wonder where I came from. Once it was a tadpole long and thin, then it was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in, then it was a monkey hanging from a tree, now I'm a professor with a PhD, amen? Well, see, I know better than that because in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God refutes evolutionism. In the beginning, God refutes atheism. In the beginning, God refutes secular humanism, because we have the book, and I know where I came from. I know that I was created in the image of God. Not physical, but body, soul, and spirit, Trinitarian persons. We are created in the image of Almighty God. How do we know that? The Bible tells us so. I was taught that ever since I was a little boy. Had no problem believing it. Even after I had graduated from high school and gone to seminary, nobody monkeyed with my mind. I believe what the Word of God says about creation and many other things about God. Not only that, Bible preaching glorifies Jesus. You know, the central theme of this Bible is Jesus. That's the central theme. You go to Genesis 3:15, right quick, you're going to find Jesus. You're going to find in the garden, you're going to find a sacrifice and a blood atonement. The first two children, you're going to find that one of them had an acceptable sacrifice and one of them didn't. One of them was bringing something by works and the other was bringing it by faith, because he knew what he'd been taught about the shed blood of the coming Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. The central theme of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said these words, "For I am determined not to know anything among you that is the preeminent thing, save Christ and Him crucified." Paul said, you can count on it. When I show up, I'm going to preach and tell people how to get saved. Sometimes people say about our kinds of churches, all they do is just preach evangelistic messages, and they always want to talk about somebody getting saved and evangelistic messages. That's what Paul said, dude. Now, I know we need some depth and content and something to grow on in all of that, but I believe that every time I preach, I have an obligation to tell somehow, somewhere, even if it's in the invitation, how to be saved, to come to Christ. To tell a man or a woman or boy or girl that they're lost, they're on the way to hell, Jesus paid for their sin on the cross of Calvary, and if they'll come to Him, repent, turn, and have faith, they can be gloriously saved. Thank God we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that it glorifies Christ. When somebody's preaching the Bible too, I think we see ourselves in the Word of God. You know, the Bible is like a mirror, isn't it? It's like a mirror. And we look into the mirror of the Word of God. It's not facts and figures and statistics and all of those things that's going to touch our heart. It's going to be the Bible, the Word of God, and the principles of the Word of God. One of the real keys to it, to getting closer to the Lord and approaching the Lord, is your personal response and my personal response. How many times are we worried about what somebody else is going to do during the invitation? What are they going to do? A lot of us can think, boy, I know she needs to go up there. I know he needs to go up there, and you may be right about that. We need to leave some of that in God's hands, of course. But many times we need to be asking, now, what did God say to me tonight? What did God say to me? And I'm not suggesting you always have to come up here and pray. You can pray right there. You can pray standing. You can pray sitting. You can sit and stand on the promises. Did you know that? There are a lot of people can't stand. They still stand on the promises of the Word of God. But the personal response is the key to it. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Anybody can be a good hearer. But it's got to get to our heart, and we've got to be doers of the Word of God. I just believe that this book helps, and I believe that it changes lives. I believe the Bible changes marriages. It'll take an old cantankerous codger that some woman has to live with and make him a lovable husband, amen? It'll take some wife that's always negative and always critical, change her, and she'll be filled with the Spirit and know what the Bible says, and she'll comply with the Word of God because it's the Word of God. And that'll help the marriage out. It'll help our lifestyle. It'll help our homes. It'll help our careers. The Bible will help in any facet of our lives if we'll just hear it and listen to it. If we need to attend church and worship God, sometimes some people come to church and I'm not so sure they come to worship. Sometimes I think they come to say, how soon can we get out of here? And I'm not too guilty of being a long-winded preacher sometimes, but we need to have an attitude that's different from, well, just let me get the pastor off my back, or let me get out of here as quick as I can. I don't have to listen to that. Or I'm just here because mom and dad made me come. That's the only reason I'm here. We need to listen to the Word of God. Let it mirror ourselves to us, and then by God's grace, do something about it. We need to enter His presence. It's not just an emotional thing. When we come to church, it's a meaningful thing, and we need to be built up, edified. That means just like the building is an edifice. It was built up, and we need to be edified through the Word of God and enter His presence. Not only that, the Bible guides the Christian. Psalm 119, most of us are familiar with this verse, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. You want to know how to walk and how to go. I was talking to someone up in the baptismal room a while ago. I believe it was Brother Hunter. And he was telling me about walking through the woods one time in darkness. We were talking about some childhood things. And he said he didn't have a light. And he had forgotten it. Got dark. And he said as he was walking along there, he ran right smack dab into a cow. And it really scared him. But when you're walking in darkness, I don't like to walk in darkness. How about you? I remember one night it was dark, and I was telling him why we got into that. I was saying we didn't have air conditioning and thermostats and all of that. When I was a kid, we might have an old homemade fan, and usually Daddy turned that off about the time we were getting ready to go to sleep, and we'd wake up again because he was saving electricity. Some of you remember those days. But I remember one night, it was so dark outside, and I heard something snorting. And I said, Daddy, Daddy, there's a bear outside. He said, a what? I said, a bear. So he got up and looked right through the screen window, and it was a cow that had gotten out and was up there snorting right there. But I couldn't tell what it was, and as far as I was concerned, it was a bear because it was dark. Nobody likes to walk in darkness. And friend, let me tell you, if we don't have the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. We're living in a dark world, and we need the lamp and we need the light to light our path so we'll walk in the right way. And the way we're going to have to do it is through the Word of God. Now, I'm not a pilot. I've always wanted to be a pilot. I've never had the money to get my license and all of that. Now I think I've gotten too old to be a pilot. I don't know. Maybe not. But I've heard pilots talk about vectors, and I have gotten in the plane with some people, and I just said, I hope they know what they're doing. They tell me they know what they're doing. I remember getting on a plane in Indianapolis, Dr. Henderson, in Connersville, and flying to Indianapolis over that way with a missionary. We got airborne, and he set this and that and the other, and he said, let's work on my brochure. I said, well, I thought you was going to fly the plane. He said, no, it'll fly itself. And I said, well, how are you going to know where you get there? And he said, well, I've set the vectors or whatever, so on and so forth. I said, okay. So he got out his briefcase, and we started working and diagramming a brochure, and he was asking my opinion about it. And after a while, he looked at his watch, and he said, well, we ought to be getting there. And all of a sudden, he looked down. There's the runway. And we landed the plane. The car was waiting for us, and we took off. Well, they could do that even if they had their license, the right kind of license. They could go ahead and fly even if they couldn't see, or if they were in the clouds, if they had the instrument rating. If they set all of that stuff right, and I just call it stuff, the vectors. But let me tell you something. Here's our vector right here. We better set our course to this. And if we do, we're going to come to the blue lights at the end of the runway, and we're going to land safely, and it's going to be the right thing. The Word provides the guidance and the vectors. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Here's what I want to challenge you to do tonight. May the Holy Spirit speak to you about whatever it may be in your life He wants to talk to you about. But one of the main things is I want to challenge you tonight, all of you, to make a decision tonight. And some of you, perhaps you're already there. Praise God for that. But if not, make a decision tonight. Most of us could do this. That you're going to approach God more and more by spending time reading the Bible. We spend so much time on entertainment, eating out, watching television, videos, DVDs, all of that. And I'm not against those things in the right way at the right time. But oh, my friend, if we're going to approach God, and I'm assuming that all of us want to grow, and we want to get closer to God, and we want to be able to approach God, we must do it through spending time in the Bible. And we've got to find time to do it and take time to hear the Word of God preached. And then make a commitment that as you start your day, one of the best ways, or whenever you do it, but primarily early in the morning will be the best time, when you start your day, that you're going to open up your day daily in prayer, approaching God, and in the Word of God, so that you can come into His presence. And God said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. And I said earlier that without faith, you can't approach God. That's the only way you can get saved, is by asking Jesus to save you and believing He died for you, and He will keep His word and save you.